Joining us now, as we look through the window of baseball with Bruce Jenkins, brought to you by Marvin Windows and Doors and Truitt & White, the professional builder's choice. New showroom in Monterey, Mark Pearsall, always great to meet all his friends. Bruce, how are you today?
Good, Marty. How you doing?
Well, you know, it was interesting. It was July 4th. The fireworks were going on here. I was on the air, and next thing I knew, Ken Rosenthal was on in there with his bow tie saying, hey, guess what? Guess what? Jeff Samardzija and Jason Hamill are going to the A's, and I said, all right, now this is a July 4th. Remind me way back when the Giants got Kevin Mitchell. Wasn't that around July 4th as well? I think it was.
It was right in there somewhere.
Yeah. So what?
I forget who was wearing the bow tie at that point. But somebody.
It wasn't Al Rosen, I'll tell you that. But, you know, again, just talking about it today earlier, it shows a difference of philosophy in the A's and the Giants, and where the A's go out and try these things, and if it works, fine. If it doesn't work, no one really is any worse for wear about it. Giants don't operate like that.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, and you know, you have to remember the Giants have also won two world titles, and their salary structure is kind of built around that. They've got a lot of years tied up with a lot of money with guys who have done it, and they're banking on those guys. It's not happening right now, and it's all about the A's who don't have those kind of financial restraints or really, you know, the same amount of finances they're willing to devote to improving the team. You know, what they've got and what the Giants don't have at all is a guy like Addison Russell or, you know, Billy McKinney's still regarded as a good young hitter, two number one draft picks. And, you know, when you realize that that's what it took for them to get Samardzija, you realize that the Giants didn't have a sniff in that kind of negotiation.
Boy, no, you're right, and that's what it takes. And, you know, as I say, when you have a farm system, it goes back to the old Branch Rickey. You know, he signed everybody. He signed 600 people. And then he would trade Chico Carrasquel to the White Sox or DeFondi to the Cubs or Billy Hunter to the St. Louis Browns. And these are names, you know, of those, Preston Ward. I'll never forget all these names.
Yeah,
and
he was a tinkerer.
Sam Jethro. And they all were Dodgers, and then he sold them all to get major league talent, and that's sort of what the A's do, too.
Yeah, Billy, you know, he's constantly tinkering. He's got pieces to move. He's got many more to move. You know, he's got guys in the big club he might want to move. Right now, he's definitely solidified the rotation by all accounts. I mean, it was such a great move because, you know, they've got the starters, but they've got guys, you know, Chavez and Kazmir. These guys, you know, Sonny Gray, they haven't pitched, you know, full seasons ever or in quite a while. And there's really some doubt as to whether they were going to hold up. All of a sudden, he brings in two guys at great cost, you know. But, I mean, it's not so unusual. I mean, he's traded, you know, talk about number one picks, he's traded Michael Choice, Week, Grant Green. And he hasn't been burned on any of those. I suspect he might... Everybody thinks Addison Russell is going to be a great shortstop, so we'll see how that works out.
But, yeah, but it's fun. Look, it's fun.
It is fun. It's fun.
Yeah, I love trading.
Yeah, exactly.
We all talk about it. Nothing ever happens, but it's like teenagers talking about sex. You know, it's that kind of thing, you know, as we grew up. And maybe today is different. What can I tell you? But
today you get to first base.
Exactly.
Literally.
Exactly. That's all we did. We didn't get out of the batter's box usually. But what do you think about this ball club? I mean, 5-18, and boy, we do the shows, and you know, I just dread the inevitability of these games of three shutouts in five games and 5-11, and I said it today, Bruce, and I'll say it to you: baseball can turn around in a weekend. You just have to keep that optimistic tone to it. But there are some flaws in the lineup that keep it from turning around.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. But the number that I'm looking at, though, right now is 39. How many losses do the Dodgers have? How many losses do the Giants have? 39. They're friggin' tied for first. I mean, obviously, they've taken a massive descent into Dodger land, and that everything all of a sudden is looking frantic and dire and hopeless. But when you really are hopeless is when you're 10 games out, you know, a month from now.
Right.
And that's just the reality of it. They're absolutely right in it. The Dodgers have lots of problems. Their supposedly vaunted bullpen is anything but. They're looking to deal, if you can believe that, from spring training with all the depth. They're looking to deal. Hanley Ramirez is hurt. Mamego on the DL. You know, they've got issues. They also have Kershaw and they have Puig, but they're just in the same boat as all the other contenders in both leagues. So It's going to be rough. You know, the Pagan thing is really a disaster, I think. I could see him not even playing the rest of the way. I mean, just based on his history and the gravity of that particular injury, and that would be terrible. And on the other hand, what if Scooter all of a sudden can play and you've got a second baseman? So, you know, it just goes up and down. It's an unusually depressing time right now, but these things never last, especially when you have talent and experience.
Yeah, and when you don't score runs, it always looks worse. When you don't score runs, it always...
Always a problem.
It always looks worse. It looks like you're not trying and no one's interested and there's a great malaise. But,
yeah.
You know, it's funny about baseball. The manager calls in two or three of the players. The general manager gets on the radio and berates everybody. The players say, this stinks. We've got to have fun. It's almost like clockwork. You know, you lose 18 to 23, yeah. And okay, manager, close the clubhouse, make a speech. Didn't work. All right, yeah. Manager, call in people, talk to them. Didn't work. General manager, get on and challenge everybody. Players, no more cliches, we stink. What's next?
Yeah, I mean, even back-to-back jams by Tim Lincecum didn't do it.
No.
You know? I mean, you remember that game last year when Pagan hit the inside the park home run and slides home in a great cloud of dust and
right.
People are going crazy. I mean, just a fantastic moment that really lightens the mood, you know, that the whole team can get into, as opposed to, you know, a pitcher throwing a great game while the malaise really sort of continues in the background. They need a really good team win that gets everybody laughing in the clubhouse, turn up the music again. I mean, we've both been around baseball clubhouses for so long, and, you know, 3 weeks from now, what's happening at the present time could be a very distant memory.
Yeah. Well, you look at the lineup, and you're right. But, you know, there are certain people. Sandoval's in a slump right now. Morse hasn't driven in a run in a while. The leadoff hitter is getting nothing done. And it's really a couple of – they look to – now Belt's back, but defensively it was beautiful yesterday. But it's really a Pence probably out of his spot at leadoff and Posey, and that's really pretty much it. So what do you do if you're Brian Sabian? Do you honestly just sit back and say, okay – we've got 76 to go. We're a game and a half back. We're tied in the loss column. Can you ignore losing 11 games in the standings in less than a month?
Well, no. I think the number one priority is to fix that leadoff position, because I think there just has to be plenty of skepticism about Pagan. Obviously, he's so key and he's a beloved player, but you know, on the real side, is he really going to be back? And will he just turn around and get hurt again? I'd go after a center fielder and leadoff man, and you know, it's tough. As we were talking about, they don't have many tools in the system to give up. Maybe somebody in the big club, but if you get this guy, even if Pagan does come back, they're not deep in the outfield at all. So I mean, they could put the guy who had been playing center somewhere else, and you know, maybe in left field or whatever, depending on what Morse is doing. You never know about Belt at first, but I think a new face would really help, you know, just sort of like, you know, Pence was a new face, Aubrey Huff, Pat Burrell, you know, a new face that can help you and works out in the clubhouse and just sort of changes the mood.
Yeah, you know, and again, this little Altuve, you know, from Venezuela.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, he's got 121 hits in the American League. He's leading the league in hitting. He steals bases, and his contract is almost less than what they pay at the Chronicle. You know, it's quite a good...
Boy, that's pretty bad. I feel bad for the guy now.
Believe me, when you look at the numbers, you're going to say, that's what they pay him? You know, it's really so...
Well, he's a big story, though. I mean,
isn't
he's
he?
Not, he's not a secret. I mean, isn't he leading the league in hitting?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean,
but he's on a team going nowhere.
No, that's true. But, I mean, Houston, people are watching Houston now because of Springer and Singleton and...
Right. And him.
Just all these wacky philosophies they have. They're kind of a story. I mean, I've been watching them on the highlights as often as I can. And Altuve's becoming a pretty big name. I just don't think teams are going to go after him. I'm not sure the Giants have the tools to do that unless they get really dramatic, you know, with somebody in their starting lineup.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It is you're looking at a guy who's under the spotlight right now.
Yeah,
and you're right. It would take an awful lot to get him out of there, but. You know, they've got a lot of good young players, and Giants have some young pitching that could be close, so who knows. The other thing I said last night, and, you know, we have fun with these things, and made me think about a little bit of last night, the trade. Sometimes you can trade from your strength and fill two or three spots, but the Giants, that's not Sabian's way. you know, to say, well, let's move Sandoval and let's bring in Elvis Andrews and Leonis Martin and, you know, somebody else and try to fill the gaps that way. That is one way. It's an old way to do it, but teams can do that from time to time.
Yeah, maybe you trade Rocky Colabuto for Harvey Keene.
You know? Yeah, and then you get run out of town. You know, they burn you in effigy to do that.
Yeah, you know, the problem the Giants have is that they don't have anybody behind, you know, Sandoval or anybody behind. I don't think they should trade Pence under any circumstances, but they just don't have any depth at all, and we see that with their bench, which is an increasing, you know, disaster. So I think, you know, once again, 39, Marty, that's
okay.
The number. And that's the number in Sabian's head right now, I guarantee you.
All right.
The standings are the bottom line. Where are we? Well, we're tied for first. Things have to get better. So, I mean, are they a world beater? Are they going to win the World Series? I wouldn't think so, but, I mean, things are going to get better.
Yeah, no, you sit back.
That's how I look at life, Marty.
No, look, in baseball, you have to, and the key is 76 to go. As I said, if there were seven games left in the season, people would be jumping through the window trying to talk about the ball club. So with 76, a million things can happen. And as I say, it turns on a dime. You have three or four good games in a row, and people forget about it. It's just frustrating waiting for that to happen. But, Bruce, that's baseball.
Yeah, it sure is. And as we say, that that explains everything. What the heck's going on here? Well, that's baseball.
That's the easiest, the easiest way to say it.
Yeah, it's true. And you know, the bottom line is the Giants have a lot of guys who have won the whole thing. They know how it feels. They know how to win. They know how to get through tough stretches. And that's that can be invaluable.
Oh, that'd be fun. Hey, how did you do in the hot dog eating contest yesterday?
I topped off at 58, and damn it, Jerry Chestnut beat me again.
You know,
I actually watched that. That's the most disgusting thing I've ever seen.
Isn't it? I mean, honestly, I don't think anyone under the age of, like, 18 should see it.
I know. We had kids in the room, you know, we're watching World Cup and the Giants, and all of a sudden somebody wanted to watch that, and and the kids were just bailing. They didn't think it was funny at all. It's like, what's this? The buns are dripping. There's water on the buns? I mean, geez, I'd gag after one.
No, not good. I was once at Comcast, and I saw Scott Osler's son drink a gallon of milk, like, in 2 minutes or something.
Wow.
And I just said, I had to walk away. You know?
I think he's a powerhouse athlete, though, so maybe he got, hopefully he got through that.
I got it from his father, I think. That's what happened.
Yeah, a couple of powerhouses there.
But, boy, all right, so July 4th is past us. July 4th is usually a day you really take a good look at everything. The Brewers are starting to lose a little bit now.
Yeah.
The Tigers are, you know, opening up a little bit of a gap. The A's are in a three-team race for sure.
Mm-hmm.
You look in the Braves have won eight straight. They're starting to move again. But I'll tell you this, National League Central to me, after seeing the Reds, seeing the Cardinals, we haven't seen the Pirates for a while, haven't seen the Brewers at all, this to me looks like a four-team race right to the end.
Yeah, and I think it's going to come down to the Cardinals and the Reds. We did see those teams, you know, what they can do. They've been in the playoffs in recent years. They've been there and just – oh, just so many things about both of those teams. You know, whether it's closing with Chapman or Yadier Molina, you know, they just have that look about them. Good pitching. That's how I'd see it, too. And you know, the Braves and Washington's going to be great. And the Giants and the Dodgers. So,
yeah.
I mean, it's going to be a terrific rest of the summer.
How do you like today's matchup? Ordisimer, Despaigne, and Tim Hudson. How about that?
I tell you, Despaigne, I can't recall enjoying a pitching performance any more than I did his at AT&T. It was absolutely brilliant. He went from 62 to 92 on the gun. Guys after were saying, we couldn't, you know, being off balance, that's the key to getting any hitter out. Get him off balance. The whole night they're like this. He's throwing, you know, 62-mile-an-hour changeups. They'll buzz you up high with a fastball. I mean, he looked like Luis Tiant or El Duque out there.
It's going to be fun.
I don't know if he can sustain it, but, boy, that was something to watch.
Yeah, this will be fun tonight. All right, Bruce, have a good afternoon, and talk to you tomorrow. We'll talk a little bit of the All-Star team tomorrow. I guess it gets announced tomorrow, and maybe you could run through it for us, some of your picks and stuff like that.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks, Bruce.
Thanks, Marty.
All right, Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle, always one of our highlight segments here of the weekend. All right, 808 KMBR, more coming up right here on the Sports Leader.